This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are offering you a safe space. If you're one of those people who has already geeked out over the NFL schedule, if that's you, this is your safe space to do you and be you, baby. You can admit it. I actually had one Boston sports fan self-identified. I didn't have to do any detective work to figure it out. One Boston sports fan who pointed out that the Celtics and Bruins were both in playoff games on Wednesday evening. And in addition, the Red Sox were on the road battling the Yankees. And she was busy poring over the Patriots schedule. I love that. Now, that's not me, but I'm excited to talk about the 2019 NFL schedule with you. I know many Cleveland Browns fans have been waiting anxiously to see how many games might be on national TV and what matchups might be on the schedule that could announce a new era for the Cleveland Browns. So I'm excited to talk about the schedule with you. And the question for our show, we're throwing it out there right away. What are the best games on the NFL schedule? Now, I get it. We haven't seen the draft yet. We don't know how injuries in training camp and early in the season might affect the matchups. But as we know it right now, I don't need your predictions for how your team will do. Although I know some of you have already determined what you believe your team's record will be and the potential. But what we know about the NFL right now, maybe some of those revenge games, maybe some matchups that feature one big name against his former team, another big name against his former team. What are the best games on the NFL schedule right now? I even had friends of mine that I didn't know were sports fans posting about the NFL schedule on Facebook. So I like it. I like the fact that you are excited about it. Now, I don't know if it trumps hoops and hockey playoffs. Not for everyone. For some of you, it certainly does. And there's plenty to talk about on the hard court and on the ice. From Wednesday evening, last several hours provided quite the drama. But if you are in the category of sports fan that feels like a kid on Christmas, you already have the games picked out that you'd like to attend, the ones that you will forsake all, that you will tell your family and friends you are unavailable. And it's not just because there are multiple TV networks who did special schedule release parties. Did you know there was a special hashtag for Wednesday? Hashtag NFL schedule release. It's so completely over the top. But isn't that how the NFL does everything these days? Completely over the top. And so I want to hear from you. Best games on the NFL schedule for 2019, at least as far as we know it right now. Again, that could change. We don't know what trades might come up. Ahem, looking at you, Arizona Cardinals, what you might do with your other first round quarterback that you just drafted. We don't know for sure. But right now, I can tell you that there are some juicy matchups that make me wish it was almost September, kind of. Part of me wishes it was almost September, not all of me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whether you are listening on a local affiliate, whether you're listening on the radio.com app, or whether you choose to tune in on Sirius XM 206, we're glad to have you on board. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. To answer the football question of the night, the best matchups on the brand new, brand spanking new, so shiny and new NFL schedule. Well, you can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or also on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then, of course, on our Facebook page named after the show. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It won't be long. Okay, it's going to be a while. I'm trying to be encouraging and supportive to those of you who are going through football withdrawals. How about this? You'll hear from both Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll after the Seahawks quarterback signs the richest contract in NFL history. So there's a little bit to whet your appetite. We'll do some QB news coming up later in the show. And we're going to head to Houston 30 minutes from now to talk to the voice of the Rockets on their radio network. Back-to-back dominant first quarters by the Rockets over the Utah Jazz. So at the end of the first quarter, they already have a 20-point lead against the visiting Jazz, which certainly does help them the rest of the way. It's nice if you can bank those 20 points. Now, they did not allow the Jazz to come back the way the Clippers rallied against the Golden State Warriors, so that's something. But James Harden with a third playoff triple-double for his career. And again, the Rockets able to overwhelm the Jazz early on, set a dominant, powerful tone, and then make sure they held the Jazz at bay. It might have felt like it was going to be a complete and utter blowout by the Milwaukee Bucks against the Detroit Pistons, who are still without Blake Griffin. But actually, a big Detroit second quarter put Milwaukee down at the half. And so coming out of the locker room, a couple of things were different. Number one, you had some major motivation inside the locker room with head coach Mike Budenholzer, as well as a Giannis who had experienced foul trouble in the first half and really didn't get into a rhythm and a groove. Now, he had his teammates who were doing the yeoman share of the work in that first half, like Eric Bledsoe, of course, Chris Middleton. But in order for them to find that cruise control that we've seen from the NBA's top record all year, well, yes, of course, they need a Giannis to be on the court.
Bucks up six with the ball. Giannis goes out to Lopez. Pump fake right wing, now drives into the lane. Hand off to Giannis. Drummond is there. Giannis to the rim, slam it. Drummond flopped, didn't get the whistle, and it's 71-63 Bucks. Brown, the rookie, crosses on Middleton, who knocks it away and got a steal. Swing ahead to Bledsoe. He's on a bust out. Reverse it. Good. And a timeout by the Pistons. 7:09 to play in the game. Bledsoe up to 25 points, and the crowd loves it. Off to Middleton. He's driving. Baseline. Bledsoe. Put it up again. Got it! And a foul. It's the Bledsoe, folks. Here in downtown Milwaukee tonight. 101-86. Bledsoe has 27.
They made it very difficult for us. They beat us to loose balls in the first half. Beat us on the boards. But to hold them to one offensive rebound and 40 points in the second half, I think that's what we want. That's what we expect. So, good second half. Obviously, the three big guys, Giannis, Chris, Eric, very good. And Pat off the bench.
Certainly liked what he saw in the second half. Coach Budenholzer pointing to not just the way they came out in the third quarter on fire and outscored the Pistons 35-17, but the fact that they were able to keep Giannis on the court, they were able to limit the effectiveness of the Pistons on the boards specifically. It's difficult when you face off against a team like the Bucks because they have so many guys who will rebound, not just Giannis. Everybody will crash the board, whether it's Pat Connaughton off the bench, who, by the way, nearly had a double-double with 18 points and 9 rebounds. But they really do care about hitting the boards on both ends, and so that's important. Offensively, the Pistons are missing Blake Griffin, of course. They did have a few guys who were in double figures, but he provides such a different look when you're on that end of the court. And he also provides a physical play, as much as that's allowed anymore in the NBA. He is willing to bang around. He's willing to take the hits. He's a guy who will mix it up, and they don't have that without him, though he did wear a boot and do some shooting in practice, or in shoot around, I should say, before the game on Wednesday. He's right now not playing, and it was Luke Kennard who was in the starting lineup for Detroit, and Dwayne Casey, who says they fell apart in the third quarter, as we've talked about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to some of the other hoops playoff action, because the Celtics have also taken a 2-0 lead against their opponent, the Pacers, though not nearly as smooth as the Houston Rockets. In fact, the Pacers led for a good portion of game number two in Boston. But I want you to hear the calls of the night in the playoffs. This actually comes from hockey. So good. A series that has been tight in many junctures. So not the entire time, but a series between the Flames and the Avalanche that Colorado could just as easily be down as opposed to being up 3-1 against Calgary. Now, think about it. We've already had the top seed in the Eastern Conference go out courtesy of a sweep. And now here are the Calgary Flames, who are on the ropes as the top seed in the West. Also, the number two seed in the West is in danger of losing out. The San Jose Sharks are trailing the Golden Knights 3-1 in that series. And so it's a bit upside down now as we look at what appeared to be a top-heavy East and West in the NHL until we got into the Stanley Cup postseason. It looked like the Flames were going to be able to even this series. In fact, they had a 2-1 lead. Again, a very tight game number four, but they had a 2-1 lead until the late stages of this third period. These calls will, if you don't already love hockey, these calls will make you want to watch. But if you are a huge fan of the Stanley Cup playoffs, this kind of drama just elevates your heart rate.
Deep slot, Barry. Back from McKinnon. McKinnon looking for space. Right in front. Scott! Gabriel Landeskog brings it in. Landeskog right down Broadway. Far side, Soderberg. Rats in. One-timer. Score! Yeah! Baby! What a one-timer from Mikko Rantanen!
Listen to that atmosphere, that din, that noise in Colorado as the Avalanche, again, we're in danger of falling back into a 2-2 series tie with the Calgary Flames. Instead, they end up tying the game on a goal by Mikko Rantanen with, I think it was like 3 minutes left to go in the third period. And then they go into overtime and he gets set up for a slap shot about 10 minutes into sudden death. And it was pretty amazing to watch the entire arena just go crazy. And it's moments like that, that even if you aren't a hockey fan, it will suck you in, that it makes it worth the investment. I know you don't have these moments every 5 minutes in hockey, and sometimes you feel like your investment is wasted. If you're not a big fan, again, and you're trying to figure out the game and maybe understand it and why it's different in the playoffs than it is during the regular season. But if you do commit and invest in games during the Stanley Cup postseason, you're rewarded with moments like this. And there isn't anything like sudden death. I know the NFL has sudden death in overtime, but it pales in comparison. It's a weak imitation of what we get during the Stanley Cup postseason in the springtime. So the calls with Connor McGehee on the Avalanche Radio Network. If you haven't seen the video, the arena just erupts when Mikko scores in overtime. So it's really cool to see the Avalanche take a 3-1 lead. Though, again, they trailed 2-0 in the third period and had to come back and weather that storm. There were some incredible saves as well. So here's one. Actually, Chris, if you can find the gif of this, I've seen this on Twitter, this save by Mike Smith, where he, trying to think, you know what, I'm going to, he ends up making a save by lifting his leg up in the air. So he's laying almost forward, kind of on his abdomen. And you would think he was completely out of position. And he raises his leg up in the air and is able to literally clip a puck before it goes into the back of the net. But anyway, we'll find it. And we'll put it up on Twitter, because there were just some moments. It's like a puck hitting the post where you can hear it clang off the post, or a pad save like that, that, as I say, gets your heart rate elevated and you realize how tight these games are. But those calls on the Avalanche Radio Network were my favorites of the night. Mika! Oh, it could have been soccer. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. What are the games of the year, at least as we know right now? The games of the year on the NFL schedule just released hours ago, whether on Twitter, whether on Facebook. I know you're out there geeking out. Thanks so much for tuning in to, well, it's your fourth show of the work week, my second. Glad to be here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Kyrie steps to his right and sticks another three. Leprechauns aren't on that side. What a performance from Kyrie Irving tonight, and we're not done yet. Kyrie with Wes Matthews on it. Left-hand dribble. Kyrie stops at 14 feet and hits again.
Man, that's just so nasty.
Tatum, step back on Bogdanovich, now starts his drive, finds the cutter. Gordon Hayward for the easy two. And with everybody running around chasing Kyrie, running around chasing Jason Tatum, you forgot about the other guy. And Gordon Hayward sneaks in for the two and puts the Celtics up by three with 12 seconds to play. Matthews will trigger with 12.1 to go, and Indiana down three. Inbound, thrown away. Wes Matthews threw it across court towards Bogdanovich, who wasn't even looking, had no idea the ball had come in bounds, and it sailed from the left side of the floor, harmlessly over the head of Bogdanovich and on to the Boston bench.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics Radio Network. A 10-0 fourth quarter run by the Boston Celtics kind of returned the favor, because the Pacers had multiple runs that put them up by double figures in the second quarter, in the third quarter. This was in Boston, game two of their playoff series, but the Celtics get some massive triples by Kyrie Irving, and then Jason Tatum takes over with back-to-back buckets, and in the most pivotal moment of the game, that 12 seconds to go, that inbound play in the fourth quarter, it's an unforced error, a big turnover by the Pacers, almost like they got nervous. So at that point, the Garden was rocking, and Kyrie Irving was sitting on 37 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you remember this time last year, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, but Kyrie, who had wanted so badly to get out of Cleveland and to get to another franchise via trade where he could leave his mark as the man in the postseason, was forced to watch instead. So he had knee injuries and couldn't be out there for a good portion of the second half, but missed all of the playoffs. And so here he is now, just two games into essentially his Celtics playoff tenure, and is finally able to provide those signature moments that we saw very often in the Cavaliers' runs to the NBA Finals.
It felt good to be here in this position, playing in this arena. You know, it's just been a long journey from having those two knee surgeries and watching the team last year and finally getting a chance to lace them up for the Boston Celtics in the NBA playoffs. It's nothing like it.
Kyrie was incredible in coming back. And when he gets on a run like that, he's going to draw even more attention than he already draws, which is as much as anybody draws in the league. And so in the last couple minutes of the game, he just made the right play. He got off the ball, and he drew two, and other guys made plays.
Got to be frustrating for the Indiana Pacers and their head coach, Nate McMillan, who watched his team score, 8 points in the third quarter of the series opener and only a dozen points in the fourth quarter of this game, too. And so there they are with these great opportunities, and they fade down the stretch, and there's breakdowns on defense, and there's poor turnovers, and, of course, the shots don't drop. Now, I know they're missing Victor Oladipo, but they've been in a, I wouldn't say a fight for their playoff lives, but they've been in games to try to secure home court advantage down the stretch in the regular season, but they just haven't been able to close out these wins when they had the Celtics on the rope in both of these first two games.
We got to do a better job of finishing games and situations like that. You know, execution on both ends of the floor, getting stops defensively, you know, offensively, being clear about what you want to do and what you need to do in that situation.
So Nate McMillan and the Indiana Pacers will head back home, where they'll host the Celtics coming up this weekend in games number 3, and I don't know the exact schedule. The NBA does a really weird job of scattering games, especially in the early rounds, because they can, because there's so many games, and they want to get as many of these games featured on national TV when it comes to the superstars. So, yeah, they don't have an even type of a schedule. It's not alternating days. They fiddle with the schedule, and they toy with us as fans. But coming up this weekend, at least the Pacers will go home, should have their own fans behind them, and that will help. But you've got to have that killer instinct. And the Celtics have been, even though Kyrie was playing his first two playoff games with Boston, these Celtics, even the younger guys, have been in big-time playoff atmospheres and have had these types of situations before where they have to be able to close. Remember last year without Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, you had guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I know Marcus Smart is sitting now. And I know Terry Rozier has not played well. In fact, well, he's played well at times, but he's not shooting well. But these are guys who have the postseason experience. And so for the Pacers, they've got some guys who've got the playoff experience. But to be able to close out these games on the road, that's how you get to the next level. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. I just paid my Geico car insurance bill on Wednesday. As a matter of fact, true story, I'm not just making it up. Okay, so I'm a dork. I'm also not making that up. As I was thinking about the pad save in the Colorado-Calgary game, of course, had the wrong goalie. It was Philippe Grubauer who had the save with his left pad on his left leg, his left shin. It was amazing. So he's leaning forward, and you think he's kind of out of it, and maybe if the puck is down on the ice, he'll get it. But no, instead, the puck was lifted up, and he was able to lift up his pad and just clip the puck. And I'm pretty confident that Grubauer does yoga. Anyway, I tweeted that, and we've got it on our show Twitter as well. And some of you are answering our question, too. What are the NFL games that you already have circled on the schedule? We'll get into the NFL schedule release and the NFL calendar, September as it is, coming up at the top of the hour. But some of you weighing in, and I hear from a lot of Steelers fans already who are excited. So Aaron says Steelers at Pats, then Seahawks at Steelers weeks 1 and 2. Going to be a quick test. Another Steelers fan is also pointing to the Steelers at the Patriots. Going to be hyped. These teams start out slow, may not be a great game. Pshaw, don't try to rain on my parade. He also points to Saints and Rams. And then, let's see, Colts and Chiefs. Going to be a good one. Improved Indy team, I bet. And then Pittsburgh at the Browns under the lights. Remember, that was actually the first game of last year's schedule for both the Steelers and the Browns. They ended up in Cleveland. Remember a game in which Cleveland was able to rally and force overtime in that one in the season opener. So I'm excited about it. The Browns have 4 nationally televised games, which maybe you were counting, maybe you weren't, but that's where I come in. So we'll talk more about the schedule coming up. in 30 minutes or so here on CBS Sports Radio. But straight ahead, we're going to spend some time in Houston, not to talk about the Texans, but to talk about the Rockets, who have used some incredible starts out of the gate to be able to take a 2-0 series lead against the Utah Jazz. So Craig Ackerman, voice of the Rockets, will join us.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ball into the lane. Takes Gobert away from the basket. Now defending him in the right-hand corner. Rocks the cradle, steps right, shoots it, hits it! What a tough shot that was for Chris Paul. Those early shots coming out of the locker room before the start of the third quarter paid off for Chris Paul in the corner over the top of Rudy Gobert. Harden for three, straight away in here. Good! So much for the Jazz push. The lead is back to 22. 32 for Harden. He's 6 of 12 now from downtown. 88-66 Houston, 3 minutes to go in the quarter.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Certainly does help if you have got a hot start and a 20-point lead before the Jazz even work up a sweat. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Rockets dominate. They go 17 of 42 from downtown, and they now have a 2-0 series lead over the 5 seed in the West. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What are the best games on the NFL schedule? And we'll talk more NFL coming up after the update at the top of our next hour. But we're pleased to welcome Craig Ackerman, who you can see on Rockets TV and hear as the play-by-play voice on the Rockets radio network during the postseason. Craig, thanks so much for a couple of minutes in the wake of a game. The Rockets have this 2-0 lead, and a big reason why is the way they've started out in the first quarters of each, coming up with a 39-19 first quarter on Wednesday night. How have you seen them start out, just come out of the gate so explosive against the Jazz?
Great. They've seen, especially in game one, they saw that the Jazz trying to imitate what the Bucks have done a couple of times against the Rockets this year, which is shade James Harden to his right to prevent the step back. He can still take the step to the right, but and sort of funnel him into Rudy Gobert. And Harden did a terrific job early on in game one, picking his spots. And then the Jazz, who normally are a terrific defensive team, taking away threes, especially corner threes, left the Rockets' corner three-point shooters wide open. And after a rough start, they started knocking him down. And then James Harden eventually got his. And the Rockets ran away and hit in game one. And then, tonight, just the Rockets were the best team in the league in terms of their record since the All-Star break. And they came to this series with that kind of a mindset. And then, tonight in game two, they were even better. I mean, they jumped all over Utah early. I mean, Utah did not do themselves any favors with some unforced turnovers, unforced errors early in the game. The Rockets really made them pay and jumped all over them. And again, never looked back. And they're off to a pretty solid 2-0 start in this series.
I heard you say in the post game that you were surprised the way the Jazz came out lost, especially in game number two. When you say lost, and I think another word was tentative. What do you mean by that? Why you've seen them before this season? Why do you think that's happening?
Well, a couple of things that have really surprised me here, and I really think that Quinn Snyder is one of the best coaches in the league. I think most people would back up on that. I don't. So you've got a smart organization that takes a ton of smart shots, that plays really smart basketball at both ends of the floor. They know that Derek Favors, along with Rudy Gobert, is not an advantageous matchup for them. They know it. It didn't work last year in the playoffs. They went away from it three times in the regular season, the four games against the Rockets. They know that doesn't work. And I know that Quinn Snyder mentioned before game one that last in the playoff series that Favors was 100% healthy, but it just doesn't work. So there's number one, and they've done it twice. I'm still going to be surprised if we start Favors on Saturday for game three. He's much better as Rudy's backup than he is playing alongside Rudy against the Rockets. Those two guys give them a significant advantage against most teams, but not against the Rockets. And so I'm still be shocked if that happens again. I can't believe that they're doing this. They obviously have to have their reasons, and I don't understand what they are. But they came out, Donovan Mitchell has not been good in this series. There's a lot of pressure on him. He's really the only legitimate individual shot creator for himself. I mean, and the Rockets have made him a very inefficient player, and he came out very tentative, lots of turnovers. They seem to just be off. I know maybe a lot of that has to do with the Rockets' level of defense, and I think you got to give the Rockets a lot of credit. But Joe Ingles looks like he does not want to shoot the ball, which is shocking. And they just look off. I mean, there's a lot of questions about the way that I've seen from the Jazz, the way they've approached this series from a coaching perspective, from a personnel perspective, from a shot-taking perspective. And again, I think the Rockets' defense has a lot to do with it, but I expect Utah to be much better in all facets of the game, especially shot-making, which they've been terrible at so far when this series goes to Salt Lake City for the weekend. You'd expect guys like Joe Ingles to shoot the ball better at home than they did in Houston.
Craig Ackerman is the voice of the Rockets on their radio network, and he's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. The Rockets early on had to rely really heavily on Harden. One of the reasons was because Chris Paul was hurt. And so I worried a little bit about his minutes and the workload, the volume of shots, as well as just the pounding on his body. At this point, it does help when they don't have to play their starters into the fourth quarter or deep into the game. But how do you see him so far in terms of his physical health responding to what could now be a second really deep run?
You know what? I think some of the fatigue issues surrounding James Harden in the playoffs have more to do with the actual playoff series that he's played than the wear and tear on him in the regular season. Look, he did carry an historic load in the middle of the year where he basically averaged 40 points a game over a 30-plus stretch, which is unheard of in the modern era. I mean, the only other player in the history of the sport that has done that has been Wilt Chamberlain. And that's why we all think around here that James should be the MVP again. That's a topic, I guess, for another time. And now that the regular season is over, the votes are in, and it is what it is. If Giannis wins it, so be it. He's had an MVP-caliber season. But that's why we in Houston think that James Harden should repeat as the MVP. But the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 games of the regular season, the Rockets were able to pull minutes off all their regular guys. And so they came into the playoffs really well rested. All the minutes were down from all their starters. So that wasn't a factor. But going back the last couple of years, you know, he's had to go through Oklahoma City and Andre Robertson, who I think is the best individual Harden defender in the league. He makes him earn everything. He's had to go through the San Antonio Spurs and Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard, who aren't far behind, you know, Andre Robertson as the best Harden defenders in the league. You know, last year, you know, he was good in round one. He was good in round two. You know, Golden State's a really good defensive team, and they have a lot of bodies they can throw at him as well. And so I think some of his late, you know, playoff fatigue has had to do with the actual series he's played in and not the regular season piling up on him later. But look, you're not going to get James Harden off the floor. Somebody's going to have to run him over with a truck. I know it's a kind of a bad visual, maybe a bad analogy to make, but you're going to have to run the guy over a truck to get him off the court. He wants to play basketball. He doesn't believe in load management or taking time off. He loves to play, and he's going to be out there all the time. Whether the Rockets are up by 50 or they're down by 50, he wants to be on the floor. This is what he loves to do.
The Rockets ended up fading to the fourth spot in the Western Conference, though they still have the home court advantage and have obviously protected it against the Jazz. But you mentioned some of the matchups in which he takes more of a physical pounding. Who are the most difficult matchups in the West for the Rockets as a whole?
Oklahoma City. I'm so glad they're not playing them in the first round. And obviously, he has their issues currently with the Blazers down 0-2 in that series. But that team... Now, James, his best career stat line has actually come. Well, actually, his best career overall stat line is actually against the Rockets while he was with Oklahoma City. But outside of that, his best overall stat line has been against the Thunder. But the last 3 years, they really make life difficult on him. And the Thunder had the kind of roster, a big, strong, rim-protecting big in Steven Adams, and a ton of really long, lengthy, athletic wing players that deny threes and really get up on the Rockets. See the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks are actually the Thunder on steroids when it comes to matchup issues for the Rockets now with Brook Lopez. And Giannis basically defends one-third of the floor by himself. And so that's why the Bucks' strategy to Shea James to his right worked better than what Utah has. As good of a defensive team as Utah is, with all due respect to them, they don't have the athletes that Milwaukee has, so it just works out better. But the Thunder have that as well. And so, to me, I'm not saying that Oklahoma City is a better team than Golden State. They're not. I'd be crazy if I admitted that. They're not. I mean, Golden State's obviously still the team to beat in the league. But Oklahoma City matchup-wise is a much more difficult matchup for James Harden and the Rockets than even the Warriors are, because of those reasons that I mentioned. And I'm personally very happy that they did not have to face Oklahoma City in the first round, because I think that would have been a 50-50 series, to be honest with you.
From the Houston Rockets Radio Network, Craig Ackerman with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So again, because you saw the West so extensively all season long, without Boogie Cousins then, how much of a different matchup does it become if the Rockets meet the Warriors in the playoffs?
My gut tells me it's actually beneficial to the Warriors that he's not playing. He played against the Rockets twice this year. In one game, Cousins was terrible and a liability. And that was the game that Harden had the, 50-point triple-double, I believe it was. Without Eric Gordon didn't play. Chris Paul didn't play. Hit the game winner in overtime. And Cousins was a liability. In the other game in which the Warriors beat the Rockets, he was Golden State's best player. So I'm not exactly sure where that would fit on the equation if the Rockets are fortunate enough to get out of the series. And again, I have a lot of faith and confidence that the Utah Jazz are going to be much better in Salt Lake City. But let's, for the sake of argument, if the Rockets do get out of the series and Golden State does get out of their series with the Clippers, I'm not exactly sure how that works. I mean, Golden State's going to have to just deal with five other All-Stars. I mean, that's a tough problem for them that they lose one All-Star, but they have five other guys on their team that have been in All-Star games multiple times in their careers. I would say that against the Rockets, Cousins would not be a very good fit for them against the Rockets small ball. And so I think even though the injury is devastating and they're losing a very talented player, I think ultimately if the two teams do meet in the second round, I think it's absolutely beneficial that he's not going to play for Golden State based on that particular matchup.
We shall see how it moves forward. They still have to get by the Clippers, of course, but the Rockets are halfway to the second round with a 2-0 lead against the Jazz. And you can follow Craig on Twitter at @CA_Rockets during the regular season on both TV and radio, right now doing Houston Rockets Radio Network. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. Great to talk to you, Craig.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on, as always. I do appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.